It is good to see you. It's good to be back with you. You know, Heather and I and the family, we took a couple of weeks off and were away. Didn't really go anywhere as much. Didn't do a whole lot. I still had to work my regular job, but it is good sometimes to take a break. And it is good to be back with you, though. I have missed you all greatly. I do miss preaching, and I do miss getting to see your all's faces when I am not here. And I just want to let you know that I love you all very much. This morning we're going to be continuing on where we left off about 3 weeks ago, continuing on in a series of messages called I Am a Church Member. This morning we're going to be talking about how as active and faithful members of the church, we are to be praying members. Amen? Praying members. There's a lot of things that we can pray for. And over the years, I've kind of developed this notion about prayer. I always encourage people to pray because we have so much to pray for. We can pray for the lost. We can pray for our church. We can pray for those that have infirmities and sickness. We can pray for those in the midst of their loss. We can pray for those who need emotional support. We can just pray that the Lord would make us better believers and followers of Him. There's so much to pray for, and I always say that and end with saying this, that if you have nothing else to pray for, you can pray for me. Amen? Amen? You can pray for me. And that's what I want to talk with you about today. Being away for 2 weeks helped me really prepare for this message. And I've known about this sermon series for months, and I knew that this message would come, and it will be a difficult one for me because it is a very emotional topic. We're going to talk about how that you should pray for your pastor. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, I'd ask that you please turn to the book of Romans chapter 15. The book of Romans chapter 15 verses 30 and 31. I'd ask that you would please stand with me as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Romans chapter 15 verses 30 and 31. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of today. Lord, we thank you for the sunshine. Lord, we just thank you for the gifts of life. Lord, Father, what a blessing it is to be back in your pulpit again with a group of people that I love dearly. Lord, Father, I just pray a blessing upon this church. Lord, I know in my heart that you have so much good in store for us as a body of believers. And Lord, I would just pray that that good would be something, Lord, that you would send forward into the world, that it would impact hearts and lives, and that people would be changed because of it. And Lord, I pray that they would not be changed because of what they see in us, but Lord, I pray that they would be changed because of how they see you in us. Lord, Father, I just ask that you be with this message here today, Lord, because earnestly I seek the prayers of those that I serve, Lord. I pray that others would lift me up as their pastor. Lord, Father, I pray that we learn about the importance of us as church members, as believers, and how we ought to pray. Lord, Father, we have so much to pray for. Lord, there's so many things that I could mention right now. There's so many things, so many prayers. And Lord, there's just maybe not enough time for it all in this place and in this moment. And Lord, I know that sometimes that I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know how to put the words together. But Lord, I'm assured that because of my belief in you and because the Holy Spirit resides in my heart, that the Holy Spirit will pray for me when I cannot even pray. Lord, Father, I just ask that today you use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for your honor and your glory, Lord. So, Father, it's all this we place at the foot of your cross, and it's all this we ask in your holy, precious name. Amen. It is good to be with you. I have really been looking forward in some ways to this message, and in other ways I knew that it would be a struggle to share because I'm earnest when I say I need your prayers. I don't know about you, but I know that the only way that I get through some of the things that I get through in life is because others have lifted me up in prayer. I can earnestly say that I have been blessed with people in my life and in my family who have prayed for me. And prayed for me in moments when I didn't even know that I needed prayer. I think about growing up as a kid in my home, how that my grandmother talked about praying for us as grandchildren, and how much that at the time maybe that didn't sink in to how much that really meant and how important that it really was. But as I have grown older, I learn and I see and I understand how important that it really is that we have people who love us and will pray for us. Amen? And as I said earlier, if you don't have something in particular to pray for, you can always pray for me. The work of a pastor is something that is difficult. It is the greatest calling on the face of the earth. There is no doubt in my mind that to serve Christ by serving others as a pastor is a phenomenal calling. But I promise you that it is something that is difficult and bears on the mind. And so often Paul would ask the people as he pastored and as he served the Lord, he would ask them to pray for him. We read that here in Romans 15 in these verses. He says, you know, would you not pray for me? He said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it in thanksgiving. He said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all of the saints. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, brothers, pray for us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he said it this way. He said, finally, brothers, pray for us that the words of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18, he says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. Do you catch the theme here? Verse after verse after verse, Paul, of the people he served, asked of them, pray for us. Pray for us in what we do. Pray for us in our journey. And I ask you, as a church member, would you not pray for me as your pastor? Why do you pray for your pastor? I tell you to pray for your pastor. I pray for you to pray for Andre as our youth pastor and the other leaders of our church. And why do I ask you to pray for us? I ask you to pray for us because the role that we do in serving the Lord is a vital one. Amen? I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. I think about Paul and his writings in Romans chapter 10, verses 12, 13, 14, and 15. He says this. He says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches unto all who call on Him. He says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now look at this. He says, then how will they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. It's vitally important. The role of the pastor is vitally important. And over the years, the role of the pastor has become skewed with so much tradition, so much about the idea of what we want the pastor to be. And for some, this might be difficult to hear, but I want to explain to you very clearly what the role of pastoral ministry is. The role of pastoral ministry is about preaching the Word of God. Because how else can somebody believe in their heart unless there's somebody who's willing to preach it and to share it? Amen? The role of preaching is something that is vital to the life of the church. And I think back to when I was a young man growing up, and I can think about my pastor and how steadfast he was in preaching the Word of God, and how without his preaching and his teaching and his leadership, I would have never had the opportunities that I did to realize who that Christ Jesus was, to realize that I was a sinner in need of His saving grace and power. The role of the pastor is vital. Because the role of the pastor is so important, you should pray for us. Amen. Why else should you pray for your pastor? I believe that earnestly you should pray for your pastor because you love them. I got one amen out of that. Thank you. Come on now. That's right. I sincerely love you all. Being a pastor, it's like having a family that, you know, it's indescribable really in a lot of ways. Unless you've done it, unless you've been there, you don't know what it's really like. But I do compare it to having a large family. And you take on the role as a pastor of caring for people. Now, I may not be there to care for you physically, and maybe not even emotionally in some aspects, but I do tell you this, I hope that I am there to feed you spiritually. And my greatest desire for you as your pastor is that you would be fed spiritually, that you would hear the Word of God, and that it would touch your heart in such a way that if you're lost, you would be saved, and that if you are a Christian, that it would motivate you and give you a heart's desire to be a better one. And I don't know about you, but I believe we can all be better Christians. I preach to you because I love you. I preach to you because I love the Lord. And I believe with all of my heart that we love one another because He first loved us. You see, you and I can love because Christ loved us. You know, the praise team sang that song, How Deep the Father's Love. And every time they sing that song, it absolutely destroys me. Because of the words of the song are just so beautiful. And they're so true. I think about how that Christ loved me so much that He gave His life for me, that if I believed in Him, that I might go free. And because He loved me enough to give His life for me, that I might go free, I believe there's no greater cause in the world to want to share than that. That a man loved me so much that he gave his life for me. I want you to experience the same love. I want you to know what that love really means. And that's why I answer the call to preach. Love your pastor. Pray for me because you love me. I believe that we should pray for our pastors and our leaders, not just because they're vital, not just because we love them, but I also believe as we pray for pastors, we pray for their protection. Amen?
Amen.
You know, when Paul was preaching, when Paul asked for the protection of the people and God's protection in his ministry, Paul had a legitimate concern. You see, Paul preached the gospel in a day and a time when people were stoned to death because of their belief in him. And ultimately, many of the letters in which Paul would write asking for the prayer of God's people were moments when Paul was already in prison and was facing the death penalty because he was a proclaimer of the gospel of Christ. You see, I live in a world today where I don't have to deal with that. I can preach the Word of God freely, and I really have very little concern about the fact that I'll ever be stoned to death, that I'll ever really be persecuted for choosing to preach the gospel. But I tell you as your pastor, and Andre as our youth pastor, that we ask for your prayers because we need God's protection. Not just in the physical sense, but I'm talking about protection in the very spiritual sense. I think about the role and the calling of a pastor. Paul said this to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 2, 3, and 4 and verse 7. He said it this way. The role of the pastor is this, as an overseer, and he must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, one who is sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. Not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. And in verse 7 he says, moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace into a snare of the devil. Pastors need your prayers because of that verse right there. Because Satan does any and everything that he can to put people of God in his snare. You know, the Word of God says that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whomever that he may devour. I don't know about you, but I need protection from lions. Amen? Amen? Lions are out there to kill their predators. When Paul gave that example, he knew exactly the point that he was trying to get across. You see, Satan is one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And Satan loves for nothing better than to destroy the testimony of a good man or woman of God. Amen? It's just the truth. And I think a lot about it because I've known a lot of good people, good men and good women of God, whose ministry, whose marriages, whose lives have been destroyed because of the snares of the devil. If you've been at this church for any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. Pray for protection for your pastor. Because you love them, because their role is vital, and because the devil does anything that he can to destroy. I ask for prayers for my physical protection as well. You know, I work in a job. You all know what I do for a living, day to day. And for the most part, I work at a place that, as far as policing goes, it is a very quiet place compared to a lot of other places, compared to where I have worked. But even in this last week, while I was off and away, I responded to a call of a burglary in progress. And in the course of that call, I really thought that I was going to be faced with a decision to take the life of another person. And I've really struggled with that for several days. Had bad dreams and just really did not know how that I would react. Because there's nothing that I think would be any more difficult in the job that I do than to be faced with taking the life of another human being. I ask for your prayers for protection physically, but I also ask for your prayers of spiritual protection. Because the devil is one who will do anything that he can to destroy good men and women of God. Pray for your pastor because our role is vital, because you love us. Pray for our protection both spiritually and physically. But the last thing I want you to do is that you would pray for our physical and our mental health. Physical health is kind of obvious. Pastoral care is something that is physically taxing. You might not believe that, but if you've never done it, I tell you that it is so. Just take my word for it. Amen? Difficult, isn't it, Andre? It'll wear your body out. It'll make you an old man quick. That's what one pastor told me one time. You know, before I started preaching, I had dark hair and dark skin. Almost Puerto Rican looking. Does anybody believe that? Nope. Not a bit. Not a bit. Well, that might be a stretch. But pastoral care has added on pounds and it's caused me to lose my hair. It's falling out. By the way, did everybody enjoy those shorts Andre wore last week? Amen. Those banana shorts were nice. He encouraged me to wear shorts this week, but because of the physical pressures of pastoring and what it does to your body, I had to explain to Andre that I just don't have the legs for shorts anymore. It's all right. Pray for your pastors because pastoral care is physically taxing. It's difficult on your body. But as difficult as it is on your body, pray for your pastor because it's mentally taxing. I cannot tell you the numbers of nights that I have laid in the bed in the last 3 years, and I have wondered to myself with anxiety, what will be the next bad thing that Satan will do to cause discourse amongst God's people. You think about those kind of things. I can't tell you the number of times where I've been doing something and I thought about somebody that was lost. Somebody that you know and that you love and that you care about. And when your calling is to preach the Word, I promise you that you will think a lot about the people that are lost. You will. It is not always the most easy thing to be a pastor. And I thought about some of the statistics, and I'll share this with you before we get ready to close, and we'll get ready to close quickly. 90% of pastors report working between 55 and 75 hours a week. 50% of those pastors feel that they're unable to meet the demands of their job. 70% of those pastors feel grossly underpaid. 90% of pastors say that they are inadequately trained to cope with ministry demands. 90% of pastors say that ministry was completely different than what they thought it would be before they entered into it. 90% of pastors stated that they're frequently fatigued and worn out on a weekly or a daily basis. 80% of pastors feel unqualified and discouraged in their role. I can tell you that almost daily I feel unqualified for the calling of being your pastor. 71% of pastors are burned out. 70% of pastors say that they constantly fight depression. And I tell you that between being a pastor and the job that I do, I ask for your prayers because I struggle with depression and I struggle with anxiety. Only 23% of pastors report being happy and content in their identity in Christ and in their church home. 72% of pastors, when they're surveyed, stated that they only studied the Bible when they were preparing a sermon. 26% of pastors said that they regularly had personal devotions when they felt that they were adequately fed spiritually. 80% believe pastoral ministry negatively affected their families. 80% of spouses of pastors feel overworked. 80% of spouses feel left out and underappreciated by church members. 70% do not have someone they consider to be a close friend. 40% report serious conflict with parishioners at least once a month. 80% of seminary and Bible school graduates leave the seminary or the ministry within 5 years after graduation. Only 10% of pastors will actually retire as a minister in some form. Over 1,500 pastors leave the ministry every month. Over 1,300 pastors are terminated by the local church each month. 50% of pastors are so discouraged that when they leave, that when they would leave the ministry, they felt that there was no other way that they could make a living, so they choose to stay. Anybody ever been in a place where you couldn't leave a job because you had no other way to make a living? And you stayed just because you had to? It burdens my heart to think that there are men who pastor and they preach, and the only reason that they do it is because they don't think they can make a living otherwise. Being a pastor is immensely difficult. I don't tell you this message so that you feel sorry for me. I don't tell you this message so that you can think, man, his life must really be difficult. I share these things with you just because I want you to do something simple for me and for Andre and the other leaders of this church. All I want you to do is pray for me. Start there. That's all you got to do. You don't have to do anything else. You just start with praying for me. You pray for Andre. You pray for our leaders. That's our role as a church member, amen? To pray for our leaders. As our praise and our worship team comes. This morning, I want you to know that Christ loves you. That Christ in His love loved you and I so much that He gave of Himself freely. That whosoever believed in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That right there is the greatest thing that I can share with you, beyond a doubt. And I ask you today, if you are here and you have never experienced that love, would you not come and experience a love that will change your life? Change your life. I'd ask you to come, because there is nothing that would bring me greater joy than to share with you personally how that you might be saved. You come this morning. Maybe you're here and you know the Lord and you have a relationship with Him. I would ask you to come. I'd ask you to come and pray for me, but I would ask you to pray for our church. I would ask you to pray for Andre. I would ask you to pray for our leaders. I would ask you to pray for the good things that God is doing, and that the Lord will continue to move in mighty ways here, and that Satan would not be allowed to put forth any stumbling blocks in our way. There's so much to pray for. I would ask you to come and for you to pray. This is the time of response. This is the moment in the service where you don't have to listen to me speak anymore, but you can come and now you can do what God is asking of you. You come this morning. Dear Father, Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, as we come to a time of response, Lord, I pray if there's somebody that needs to be saved, Lord, I pray that they will come and be saved. Lord, I pray that if there's a church member here, Lord, who struggles with life, struggles with the difficulties of family, with work, Lord, maybe they just need a touch of You, I pray they come. Lord, I pray for others who suffer in other ways that maybe nobody else knows about. I pray they come. Lord, Father, I just ask that Your Holy Spirit move during this time of response. That people would come. Lord, thank You so much for Your love and Your grace. It's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen.